Your words do, however, have effect on other people around you, particularly people who don't know God. You're supposed to be the blessing plan of God in operation.
Words you speak will affect the people in your life. Are you speaking words of life and blessing to your loved ones? Find out more as Kenneth and Gloria Copeland continue this week's teaching from their prayer cabin, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and this is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we praise you. We thank you and we bless you for your plan. You are the God of the plan.
Praise God.
Your will. Oh, hallelujah. We just give you praise for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was listening to Keith Moore on the plan of God. You know, we were on a broadcast together just here not long ago. And we're talking about how God has planned every little detail so that it can be the best it can possibly be. I mean, that's the way He is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why?
Amen.
Why did He do that? To get that original Garden of Eden plan back in operation again. To get us in heaven instead of hell. And so, anyway, we were talking about that He began to talk about the plan of God, the will of God being the glory of God. That is the love of God for all people. Oh, it's just marvelous thing when you begin to realize that. Let's go back over here, Gloria, to the book of Acts. We began talking about this last week. Now, yesterday, remember, we were talking about we're justified, we're condemned by our words, not somebody else's words. Your words do, however, have effect on other people around you, particularly people who don't know God. You're supposed to be the blessing plan of God in operation so that those that don't know Him get under the shadow of your blessing and the blessing begins to work in them. I'll bless those that bless you. And then they begin to walk in that blessing. Well, it draws them to Jesus. It don't just draw them to you, it draws them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But there are times in the middle of a disaster when it's your faith that'll deliver the whole neighborhood, possibly, or what? We're going to see that right here with the Apostle Paul. Now, much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." Now, you notice his life was in there within our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master. He believed the captain. After all, what does this prisoner that I'm in charge of? No, I don't want to listen to him. He's not in authority over me. I'm in authority over him. After all, I'm a centurion here. What does he know? He's just a preacher.
Can't let the inmates run the prison.
No, you can't. Particularly the Christian inmates.
That's right. Well,
so he turned to the captain. He said, "What do you think about it?" So what did the captain say? Well, the captain and the owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now here's what they said. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart there if by any means we might reach Phoenicia and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. And besides that, there's better hotels there, and the nightlife is a little better than it is here. And whatever else, you know, the so-called professionals knew about it. But everything is based in the natural, what we can see.
Yeah.
You remember when Jesus said to Peter, launch out in the deep and cast a net. Let's get some fish. Peter said, preacher? The King James says master. Well, that isn't what he called him. He wasn't his master yet. He called him rabbi. Preacher, we toiled all night long. He wanted to make sure that he understood he knew what he's talking about. Well, so did this centurion. Preacher, now, we toiled all night long. We didn't catch anything. But that's because you said so. Now, he wasn't honoring his word. He didn't even know his word was any more than anybody else's, but he was a rabbi and he had some respect for him. Mm-hmm. He said, we'll go. So Jesus said, cast in your nets, plural, all of them you got. Peter cast in a net, and it was a rotten net because when the fish hit it, it broke. So it was the only incident. They were many times, they caught so much fish in one time, recording the Gospel of John, they couldn't move the net. It was so many big fish in that thing, but the net didn't break. And that same day, when all those other nets were thrown, not a one of them broke. It was that rotten net that Peter threw out there that he wouldn't have to clean when he got back because he knew they weren't going to catch anything. So what Peter knew was based on his experience as a man. Mm-hmm. What Jesus knew was based on his experience of what he knew of the Holy Ghost. He knew the blessing of Abraham. No fish in that lake could withstand his desire for them all to come get caught. But toiling, which is a curse, drives things away. So here we are here. That's the same situation you got right here. Now, we know what happened here. They sailed into a hurricane in the 18th verse, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. And you look up the word tempest, and you look up the word hurricane, and hurricane means tempest. There were three stages of wind back then, and there still is today. The only difference is today we put a mile an hour figure on those different things. But what does the difference between 1 mile an hour make between a gale and a hurricane? But that's just their way of establishing that there is a breeze or a gale or a tempest or hurricane. In some parts of the world, it's called cyclone. In other parts of the world, it's called other things. But it's a tempest. So, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now, the first hope they had, throw everything overboard. Well, that didn't work. The thing is still, they're sailing in a, they're not sailing, they're being driven.
I'm laughing because you remember Kelly's little play at school, and they were doing, reenacting that, and so she threw her, you know, they had a doll that was a baby, and these kids had put this together.
Yeah,
they were lighting the ship. These kids had put that play together. And so
they just threw the baby
blanket. Threw the baby overboard.
Well, you make dumb decisions when you get in a storm. I remember that. Oh, my goodness. Now, they got into this thing. That little boat, the scripture said, it began to be driven. They couldn't sail it anymore. And so the boat is going in circles. They don't know that. We can look at a hurricane now. We can look down on the thing and see how they're shaped and how they move. Back there then, they didn't understand those things like that. Even the sailors didn't. Most of them that got in them never got out. So yeah. But the thing was being driven, and it's going around and around. But it also, the whole weather system is being moved across the ocean. And they're headed toward land in disastrous manner because they can't control this ship. All hope was gone that they could ever be saved because they had hope in throwing stuff overboard. They had hope in throwing the tackling of the ship. They had hope in throwing out all the anchors and dragging the anchors and creating any kind of drag that they could. They did everything they knew to do, and this thing is just going wild. Now, notice what happened in the middle of this. In verse 22, or 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now, wait a minute. He could have blamed this whole thing on them and gone to God and said, I tell you, God, they got me in this mess and I'm going to die out here. And he would have been like that caged animal that we were talking about that's trying to get out. And the more it can't get out, the more it cries and screams and says, I can't get out. I can't get out. I can't get out. He's being condemned by his own words. And the more he says all is lost, the more the devil can steal.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's just, wait, and it's kind of like that hurricane. He's just going around and around and around.
Pressure comes.
Oh, Lord, we don't have any hope. We don't have any hope. All is lost. All is lost. And it's their fault. I want to make sure you realize it's not my fault, Lord. It's not my fault. I tried to tell them. Mm-hmm. Well, you're just acting just like them. And so the whole bunch is going to go to the bottom of the sea. Now, you come on down here, though, and listen to now what he says. And now, he just used that to get their attention. You should have listened to me. Now, listen to me now. Well, now he's got their attention in the middle of this thing. And he says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Where in the world would he get something like that? Be of good cheer in the middle of this? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He didn't belong to the angel. He doesn't serve the angel. He serves God that sent the angel, saying, Fear not, Paul. I believe, as the Lord wills, before this week is up, we'll deal with that area right there. Why he said, fear not, Paul, and what fear had to be stopped. Now, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given you all them that sail with you. So his faith is responsible now.
Yeah.
Either do one of two things. Either stop this storm, which Jesus did on the Sea of Galilee and saved everybody in the ship, or something else is going to happen. Well, he already knew the ship's going down, but none of us are if you do what I tell you to do. Now, right in the middle of this,
That right there is a key thing when you're in trouble. You got to do what God tells you to do to get out. Otherwise, you're going
right
to stay there
to you
or not. That's
or
right.
Amen.
That's right.
You think there's any fish out there or not, you got to do what he says do. And the worse the situation, the more you
more
better
critical
listen.
It is.
And don't wring your hands and go running around like an animal in a cage. That's what the Lord was trying to tell me the other day.
Yeah.
You just sit down and be still in the middle of it. There's been times when my grand aunt was sick to death and they called and said, if you want to see her alive, you better get down here now. Well, we were at Mother's, remember? We'd just driven in. And Mother jumped up and she had just set supper down in front of us. Just some scrambled eggs and stuff. And And she, come on, come on. Allie's about to die. We got to go now. Well, on the inside, I was about to react the same as I saw Mother do. She was, Mother wasn't afraid, but she believed that report. We got to get out of there now if we're going to see her again alive. Well, of course, she was intending to go pray. But the power of God rose up in me. And I just took authority. I wouldn't let my outside do what my inside's wanting to do. Or not my spirit, but my flesh is wanting to, my mind and so forth, wanting to jump and run. I said, no, ma'am, I'm going to finish my supper. Kenneth, come on, Allie will be dead before we get there. Now, see what she said?
Yeah, she said it.
And so...
She said the wrong thing,
yeah.
Didn't she?
And back in those days, my mother was a prayer warrior. But she was, we were all just learning.
It was early on.
Oh, man, all of us were learning these things. And she later on did learn this. But right then, she didn't understand that. And I got my fork and I got a piece of those eggs. It tastes just like leather. But I wasn't eating it because I was hungry. I was eating it. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I was taking command over my thoughts and command over my mouth. Because, man, I'm wanting to do the same thing. Had I done that, I would have added my agreement to Mother. She'll be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
So I got through with my supper. She said, now can we go? I said, I'm going back to the bedroom, and I'm going to put on a clean shirt. Oh, she's jumping up and down. And you caught on to what I was doing, and you're natured that way anyway. When trouble comes, Gloria's reaction is to go calm. She was that way naturally, and since she found out the Word of God, she is strong that way. She just goes calm. You ain't never going to see her sweat about anything.
I agree to that.
And so she was an inspiration to me. I went back. And I got my shirt on. By the time I came back now to go get in the car, I was calmed. And we went on down there, and when we walked in there, they had already moved her to another room. They just hadn't had time to come by and do the death certificate legally. But the doctor had already said, well, she's gone, and took her out of her room, put her over here in this dead room where the doctor could come by on his rounds and sign the paper. We walked in there, and when we walked in the door, now I can clearly hear the word of the Lord. Had I been running around like a caged animal, I wouldn't have been able to hear that. All I would have been able to hear is, Allie's dead. Oh, Allie's dead. I'd have got in there and said, oh my God, Allie died before we could get here, and that'd have been the end of it. But as it was,
would stay dead.
In hearing what God said, I walked over, I said the words that he said, I read the words that he said, read, and when I did, her eyes popped open. She said, Kenneth, what are you doing here? This is sweet and kind, and she's just a lovely, lovely woman. Love God. She lived two more years, and she was up in her years. She lived two more years. And Mother was going to town one day, and the word of the Lord came to her and said, go to Eileen's house. She got over there, and she's sitting over there in her rocking chair. And Mother walked in there, and she said, hey, Eileen, is it time for you to go? She said, I believe it is. She said, he's been over there waiting for me most all day. And she said, I told him, I said, sir, I'll be with you in a little while. Mother said, who is it? She said, well, sister, it's Jesus. She thought Mother could see him. It's Jesus. Said, he's been there about all day. Mother said, why don't you just go on in here? You want me to help you get into bed? She said, yeah, I would. Took her in there and put her to bed. And she said, now, Aunt Allie, just lay your head back there and let it go. She said, okay.
That's the way it all
laid her head back there. She spoke two or three words in tongues. She had never spoken in tongues in her whole Baptist life.
She waited to the last minute, huh?
But she spoke several words in her prayer language, and she was gone. Now, she went on God's terms and her terms instead of the terms of the devil 2 years before. Mm-hmm. And the 2 years that she had, she was vibrant, and she enjoyed life, and she just had a wonderful time. And her wonderful time to her is just sit and read the Bible and pray and love your grandkids. And that's what she did.
It's important to fulfill the length of your days.
That can only happen if you're totally aware all the time. People say, well, you know, God is in control. Yeah, but are you in His control? That's what's important. And you stay in that control by staying in authority over your words, in authority over your thoughts. I don't care what the situation is. Now, he came out there. I'll close this with this. Be of good cheer, sir. I believe that it'll be even as God has told me. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. God hath given you all them that sail with you. He comes out and says, be of good cheer. Now, you ready for this? Oh, man, let me tell you something. This will knock your hat in the creek. What caused Paul to come out and say, be of good cheer? I wondered about that, and that kept nagging at me. And the Lord told me, look here, all you have to do is go back to the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts in the 11th verse. And I mean, he is in trouble again, a great dissension. The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, commanded the soldiers to go down, take him by force from among them, bring him into the castle. The night following, the Lord stood by him. It wasn't an angel this time. Yeah. Now, Gloria, that's the reason the Lord didn't come on the ship. He just sent his angel to remind him of what he'd already said. Listen to this. Be of good cheer, Paul. Now, that's where he got that. Be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified to me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome.
He knew he wasn't going to die early.
But that angel had to remind him of what Jesus planned for him was.
That's great.
So what'd he do? He came out and quoted Jesus. Be of good cheer, of good cheer. It will be just like the angel told me. And what's he saying? The plan of God is bigger than this.
That's right, storm.
Storm.
Yeah.
The plan of God is bigger than this snake that just jumped out of the fire and fastened onto me. And he just slung the snake off. He's headed to Rome. But on his way to Rome, he had a revival that healed the chief and healed the whole village and turned the whole place over to God. Amen.
Praise God.
Headed on to Rome.
Victory.
The plan of God was more powerful than anything the devil would do.
That's
to come
right.
up, sink his ship.
Right.
So what happened? He put Jesus' words in his mouth. He didn't have he couldn't turn and take the red letters and put them in his mouth. We can. And it's just as powerful as Jesus standing there. Jesus said, it's more powerful.
Wow.
Amen.
Glory.
Glory, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come home to the Homecoming 2010 30th Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, August 2nd through 7th. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a partner meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches Healing School. 1440 Student Ministries is available for ages 13 through 18, and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 through 12. It's all free August 2nd through 7th in Fort Worth, Texas. God loves you. He is interested in you and is committed to helping you build rewarding relationships and lasting connections that make your life fulfilling. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have put together a 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. This simple, practical, devotional resource will help you develop, improve, and maximize all the relationships in your life. from marriage and family to friendships and workplace connections. The CD and DVD teachings, interactive devotional questions, and action plan will help you know that you're loved and accepted by God. You'll discover how to cultivate and experience relationships with others that are encouraging, satisfying, and lasting. In less than 2 weeks, you'll find yourself enjoying your relationships more. It's all part of your personal 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. Order our newest Lifeline kit, Building Relationships That Last, by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, available now for just $19.99. Start building strong, rewarding, godly relationships with this 10-day spiritual action plan. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Building Relationships That Last Lifeline kit online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call our toll-free number, or you can write to us. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Now, Gloria and I have got something we want to send you free. It's a seed that we want to sow into your life. Now, remember, Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul and spoke words to him. But then the angel came in the middle of that hurricane, and he reminded Paul of what Jesus had already said to him. Now, I don't need Jesus to appear to me. That is His will and His business. He never promised to do that. He did promise you His word. Amen. Now, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and told him certain things to straighten out his... There wasn't anybody in the land to teach him. Everybody was going the same way he was going, and he had to turn him and to move. Now, I didn't need Jesus to appear to me and tell me what Brother Hagin, what he said to Brother Hagin.
That's right.
Brother Hagin told me what he said. So,
right.
Now, I want you to have this. You know, it's just small enough. You can carry it there in your pocket. Carry it all day. You can read this. You can read this in just a minute or two. You can sit down to lunch and read this before you pray over your meal.
Praise God.
Read it again and again. It's a little book that Gloria wrote, God's Success Formula. Listen, God's Word, He's no respecter of person, and neither is His Word. You can have it. You can have the success. You can have more success
than
us.
Right.
You can have whatever Jesus has. Amen. It just takes faith to get it. Show up at that convention this week. We're looking for
you. Amen.
See you tomorrow. Remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's broadcast, visit us online at kcm.org or call or write to us today. Remember to request your free gift, God's Success Formula, a book by Gloria Copeland. For faster processing, request your copy online at kcm.org. Offer good for 30 days, one per household, please. If you need prayer, we're only a phone call away. Call our 24-hour prayer line today at 800-600-7395.